Open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 43. Genesis chapter 43. The name of the message is Dining with Joseph. Dining with Joseph. Last week in our study, we left off at verse 25 of Genesis 43. So let's turn again and we'll look at Joseph dining with his brother. And let's read verses 26 to 34. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant our father is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down and made obeisance to him. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me?" He said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Sit on bread." And they sit on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves. Because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for this is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them before them, which is portions. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. We see that Joseph, when he comes back to his home, the first things his brothers did was to present him with the present from the land of Canaan, which they bought. And it was a substantial gift. It was a sacrificial gift, because we know that they didn't have a lot of food back home. So it was a sacrificial gift for him. Look at verses 26 to 28. And when Joseph came home, they bought him the present which was in their hand, unto the house, and bowed themselves to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare, and said, "Is your father well, the old man of whom you spake? Is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. So we see that it does not appear that they mentioned their father as they presented the gift to Joseph. They were no doubt trying to gain favor with Joseph, not knowing that that was their brother that they were standing before. But they were trying to make favor with the ruler of Egypt. And to mention their father would take Joseph's attention away from them as far as the present was concerned. And they did not want that. But note, again, just as Joseph dreamed, his brothers bowed down before him, beloved, just as he dreamed. Just as he dreamed. And they made obeisance, which means they prostrated themselves before him. They were down in the ground before him. They bowed down before him. And notice again, just as Joseph did that, that which Joseph proclaimed in his dream came true. Now his 11 brothers are before him. Not just the 10 that were there last time. Now it's all 11. And they did this in a humble manner, again fulfilling Joseph's dream and more completely than before. Again, for now all 11 children were together. Look at verses 9 and 10 in Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Look at verses 9 and 10. And Joseph, we know he, Joseph, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." They bowed down before him. Obeisance to him. They bowed down. They prostrated themselves before him. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" So here again, now it's the 11 of them bowing down. Now it's the 11 of them prostrating themselves before him, just as Joseph had said it would be so. And they do not know it's Joseph there before. They have no clue. He hasn't revealed himself to them yet. He will soon, but it'll be in God's time, won't it? It'll be in God's time. I don't know how I know how it happened. God restrained him. If I had seen my younger brother, I don't have a younger brother, but I imagine if I had a younger brother and I saw him, I'd want to run to him. John, if you hadn't seen your brother for 20 years, you'd want to run to him, your younger brothers. I know you're the oldest. You'd want to run to them. Give him a hug. Wrap your arms around him. And you just would. You just would. Notice in verse 27 that Joseph asked them of the welfare, of their welfare first. And he asked them of their welfare. And obviously they told him that they were good. And then he asked them of his father's welfare. Because he knows his father is an older man. And what great concern he has for him. He asked them, how's your father? He didn't say, how's our father? Because, he hasn't revealed himself to him yet. But he says, is your father well? The old man of whom you spake. Again, he knows that he's older man now. And they answered him that their father was good, in good health, and he's alive. In verse 28. Could you imagine how Joseph felt with that news? Oh, his heart must have leapt. Yeah. He loved his father. He loved his father very much. And think of this, Joseph knew who they were, but they did not know who he was. Just as Christ knows who we are before we're saved, beloved. He knows who his sheep are. He knows who his people are. We have no clue in our natural state of who he is, but he knows us. His eyes ever upon us, beloved. Ever upon us. He loved you, beloved, before you ever loved him. And what do all God's people do? We bow down and we prostrate ourselves before the Lord, don't we? He is King. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so how he must have rejoiced knowing that his father was an older man. And to hear that he was alive and in good health. And notice they're still trying to find favor with Joseph. Even their answer, as Jacob's son, referred to their father as a servant of this man. Notice that too. Even their answer when he said, and they answered, "Thy servant our father." So they're still trying to gain respect before this man. And they said, "Our father's in good health, and he's alive." And again, what wonderful news this would be for Joseph. What wonderful news. And little did the brothers know that the very one that they bowed down their heads to and that they prostrated themselves before was the very one that they sold into slavery. The very one. And he's now ruler of Egypt. Joseph, their brother, second only to Pharaoh. But all power has been placed in his hand, isn't it? Pharaoh just says, whatever he says, you do. Oh my. Again, what a picture of Christ. God the Father has put all judgment in Christ's hands, hasn't he? He's the one who's in charge, beloved. He's the one in full charge. And whatever he says comes to pass. So we see again the fulfillment of Joseph's dream. He had shared with them that when he was 17 years old, that this would occur. And all this was planned, purposed, and we see here before us, executed by our great God. He's absolutely sovereign, beloved. Look at verses 29 to 31. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. He washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread." Now do not forget that it's been over 22 plus years since Joseph has last laid his eyes upon Benjamin, his little brother, his dear little brother, his mother's son. And all the others standing before him were half-brothers, weren't they? But this was the brother, his mother's son. And Joseph had a special love for Benjamin, beloved. He had a special love for Benjamin. He loved his other brothers, but he had a special love for Benjamin. And we see in verse 29 that Joseph lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin. Saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." So we see Joseph setting his eyes upon his brother Benjamin and then asking his brothers if this was their younger brother, the one that they had spoken of to him before. And we see no doubt they had answered in the affirmative. Yes, this is him. This is him. And look at Joseph's sincerity for his little brother. This is what he had desired most and earnestly prayed for, to see his younger brother. And God is sovereign, and he's gracious to whom he's gracious. And I can imagine that Joseph had sincerely prayed to God and poured out his heart to have mercy on his younger brother, just as he had for him, just as we pray for our loved ones, don't we? God have mercy on him. God have mercy on them. We pray for that, for our loved ones, for our friends and our family, and our fellow workers, that God would have mercy upon them, that he would save their souls. And we see in verse 30 here that Joseph couldn't contain his emotions any longer, beloved. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn. That's his heart, beloved. His heart did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered in his chamber and wept there. He wept, beloved. He'd have wanted to run to his brother and embrace him and let him know that he was Joseph. Let him know I'm alive. But it was not God's appointed time for that to happen, was it? It wasn't. Because if it was, it would have happened. But it wasn't God's appointed time for that to happen. So Joseph made haste and entered in his chamber and wept there. His heart did yearn for his brother. Did yearn for his brother. And Joseph was deeply stirred within his innermost being, beloved, because of his love for Benjamin. And he's probably fighting back tears of joy. These are tears of joy, beloved. He's laid his eyes upon his dear little brother. And he goes into his chamber where he can freely weep. Just freely weep. And the tears flowed out of him because of his love for Benjamin. Now think about this. No one knows but Christ himself the longing that's in our Savior's heart to reveal himself to his chosen people. His blood-bought people. Those who are the objects of his eternal love, as we were talking about earlier. Objects of his eternal love. Divinely loved from eternity. And what joy we will experience, beloved. We know that there's an appointed time for the revelation of Christ's special love for his people, isn't there? There's an appointed time for every single sheep of God. A time of love. A time of love. And he reveals himself to his own. And we know that he has a special joy for his people because Jude tells us that one day we who are his blood-bought bride, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, will one day be presented faultless before his throne, faultless before the Father's throne, before the presence of God's glory, and Christ will present us with exceeding joy. How great our joy will be, right? To be there, to be part of that number. How great our joy will be. But think of this. I want us to think of this. Our joy will be great, won't it? Just when we're in the presence of the Lord, our joy will be great. But think of this. Our joy will nowhere compare to the joy that Christ has in presenting us to the Father. See, we can't even grasp that, can we, with our finite minds? The joy that we will have to be in His presence will not even compare to the joy that He has presenting us faultless before the Father. What great love. My. And why wouldn't He present us with joy? He purchased us with His own precious blood, beloved. He bought us. And the price was the shedding of His precious blood. So marvel. Marvel at the grace and the mercy of God that we will be included in that number. In the number that Christ presents to the Father, the number of His people, the elect, that we'll be in that number, we who are His people. Marvel that He will do that with exceeding joy, and each believer can say, for me. My. But He will. He will. And we see in verse 43 that after Joseph had gained his composure, he washed his face and went out and refrained himself, and he told them to set on bread. The words "and refrained himself" is one word in the Hebrew. It means to hold back, to restrain oneself. To hold back and to restrain oneself. In this picture we have here depicts the self-control that our Lord has. He says this in Isaiah 42, verse 14. I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now I will cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. And then in Isaiah 63, verse 15, it says, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bows and thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Oh my. And then in the New Testament, the scriptures declare this. Let's turn there actually. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Start in verse 21. And we'll read to 25. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He's perfect, sinless, spotless. Look at this. And this is an example we should follow, beloved. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So Joseph, by washing his face, he had removed all evidence that he'd been weeping. And we see that when he left his private chamber, he rejoined his brethren, he controlled his emotions. He controlled his emotions, not allowing himself to weep before his brethren. And then we see that Joseph commanded the servants to set the dinner or set on bread. Let's read verses 32 to 34. And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves. Because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews. For this is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. So we see in verse 32, there was a special table set up in the room for Joseph. For Joseph. He ate by himself. Now this was either done because he was a Hebrew and the Egyptians wouldn't eat with him, or it may have been in reverence of who he was as a leader. Scripture doesn't really tell us either one. That's what, two different views from different commentators, that he was either, it was because he was a Hebrew, or it was because of his position within Egypt. He's the next man in line. The only one more powerful than him is Pharaoh. And then we see there's a special table set up for the Egyptians, who ate by themselves because they had a custom that would not allow them to eat with the Hebrews. Now I looked into that a little bit, and part of the reason why they thought the Egypt or the Hebrews were an abomination is because the Hebrews ate animals that they worshipped. See, they lifted the creature above the Creator. The Creator had told the Hebrews, you can eat this food. Right? But the Egyptians lifted up the creation rather than the Creator. So that was part of the reason why they wouldn't eat with them. And then there was a special table also set up for Joseph's brothers. And note that they sat before him in full sight. of Joseph in full sight. In full sight of them. And then take note that their seating was from the oldest to the youngest. The oldest. Reuben was seated as the firstborn. And the rest were seated according to their age, right down to Benjamin, the youngest. Look at verse 33. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the man marveled one at another. They marveled. Brother John, be like somebody seated your whole family, your brothers and you, all in according to your age. And my two brothers and me, my brother Dale, my brother David, and me. Without even, we don't know that, we'd wonder why? We'd marvel. Because they don't know he's Joseph, remember? They don't know who he is. So they marvel at one another that they were seated in this manner according to their age. It perplexed them, but they marveled at it. They're like, how did this happen? How did this happen? And they would have also marveled at the honor of being able to eat with the governor. To be able to eat in the same room as the governor of Egypt, who was a noble. And no doubt their seating was arranged by Joseph. No, there's no doubt in that, is there? No. He knew the ages of his brothers, but his brothers did not know that they were dining with Joseph. And they did not know that it was he who caused them to be seated in the order that it was so. And it caused them to marvel. And now look at verse 34. And he took and sent messes unto them, portions from before him. But Benjamin's, or say to say portions, was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Now we see that the food was set before them, and these are healthy portions. These are healthy portions of food. They wouldn't be hungry after they ate them. Messes here means a very healthy amount of food. And take note, though, Benjamin's was five times as much as any of their brothers. You think Joseph was showing some partiality there? You think he was showing some favoritism there? Oh, this was his dear little brother, Benjamin. And let us remember, though, that a type can go only so far and then it breaks down. And God's love for his children is the same. He doesn't love one of us more than the other. Just think of that, too. Marvel at that. His love for John the Apostle is the same love he has for you and I, who are his people. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. He doesn't love one more than another. It's the same for all his elect. And there's a full inheritance reserved for all who were purchased by Christ with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see the portion of Scripture that Benjamin's portion was five times as much as his brother's. And this was done out of Joseph's great affection to his own brother, the brother who was of his father and mother. Some even think that Joseph did this to see how his brothers would react. Several commentators, John Gill brings that out too, that Joseph did this to see how they would react, how his brethren would react to Benjamin receiving more. Because remember what happened when Joseph was given that coat of many colors. They all got jealous. And several commentators think he did this so that if he saw that same occurrence that happened with him, that he could give safety to Benjamin and protect him. And protect him. Because when he gave that larger portion, It's a sign of it's a sign of distinguishing respect and honor when he got that bigger portion. Well, let's consider then the closing portion of verse 34 here. It says, And they drank and were merry with him. They drank and they were merry with him. We know that Joseph's brothers were expecting something bad to happen to them. And here they are eating with the governor. They were expecting something bad to happen to them, but it didn't happen. And they're eating with the and drinking with the governor. And they're having a merry time, a jolly old time with them. They're having a wonderful time, beloved. And let us remember, as we dwell in the land which we dwell in now, this world, this is a world of famine, isn't it, in a sense? And we're going to go home and be with the Lord forever and in His presence forever. And we will be with Him. And we found favor in the eyes of our great God, beloved. And the Scriptures declare that Jesus receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Praise God. Praise God, it says that. And do you notice that there was three different tables? I'm going to quickly close with it. Do you notice there was three different tables, right? Joseph was in one table. The Egyptians were in another table. And the Hebrews were in another table. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 19. One day we will feast in the presence of the Lord from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, God's people, right? There won't be separate tables, beloved. Because we're one in Christ. We're one in Christ. Revelation chapter 19, we'll read verses 6 to 10. We're feasting in the presence of our Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we'll feast upon blessed heavenly manna, beloved, of His Word. We feast on the manna of His Word while we're here, but, oh, beloved, we're feasting in His presence. And one cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ without having a loving, intimate, living union with Him. And this living union is the most blessed and happy union. Look at this, though, in Revelation. We're closed with this. Starting in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. And it's the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. That's the marriage of the Lamb and His bride. Look at this. And His wife, that's His bride. That's His blood-bought bride, beloved. Hath made herself ready. We're clothed in His perfect righteousness. He's made us ready, beloved. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. That's the righteousness of Christ. Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Oh, glory to His name, beloved. What a great God we have. And we're one in Christ. We're one in Christ. There won't be separate tables at the marriage supper of the Lamb, beloved. Oh, my.